and then like I make fun of myself in response
completely.
To
oh, I know, making podcasts is not. And we're live. Hello, this is Natalie Griffin coming at you live from the Naughty Shaman Studios, which is in this case my very favorite chair in my very favorite room, and I'm with one of my very favorite people, Dr. Suzanne Munier. She is not only a clinical psychologist, but she is a super rock star who, in all of her conversations with these beautiful humans, she sort of discovered that there are these really unique relationships that we can have with one another, and really dove deep down the rabbit hole trying to understand all of the different ways that we are in relationship karmically, and then this beautiful and special relationship called twin flame relationships. And it's kind of blossoming on the planet. Everybody's talking about twin flames and soulmates. And so I wanted to bring Suzanne in tonight. And Suzanne, welcome.
Well, hi.
I'm so excited that you're here. This is my first time I've ever had like someone else on the mic with me. I'm so excited. And
thanks for having me.
Oh my God, my pleasure. It's so awesome. So I was hoping that you could shed a little light on this whole twin flame, karmic, soulmate. Like, what's going on with all this stuff?
So my understanding of it is that when our souls are first created, we split off in sort of large chunks. Mm-hmm. And over time, we break off into a soul group. And then from there, sort of a larger oversoul. And then the last split to happen is the twin flames. And so we have the same vibrational resonance as one another, and that's what makes that relationship so unique.
When you say we have the same vibrational resonance, are you talking about like the whole soul group? Like sometimes I imagine it like branches of a tree. Mm-hmm. Does that even make sense? Like there's a branch where you and your people are kind of hanging out,
mm-hmm.
and that would be like a soul group?
Yeah, and so there's different perspectives about how many people are in a soul group,
huh.
But there is a connection to that larger group vibrationally, but then the two twin flames are the exact same vibrational resonance, and so it's sort of like the closest to our origin that we can find in the universe.
Oh my God, you have to say more about that. So like, I've heard sometimes people describe the twin flame relationship as a shared soul between two people. How would you describe it?
So that's not my perspective exactly.
Okay.
I think that each individual has its own unique soul, mm-hmm. But there is a third shared energy body that connects the two of them, and an energy cord that connects them sort of at the heart level as well. And then there's a collective energy above that, which is the soul group. So there's sort of a group of, like, you can consider it like a collective consciousness of a soul group. Let's say there's 9 souls
yeah.
as part of that soul group, and 2 of them are the twin flames. And what makes them twins is that they have a unique vibrational resonance that's identical.
Interesting. So then in actual factual reality, like what's the difference between somebody that's maybe obsessed with an ex-lover or another person and a twin flame connection? Like how can you distinguish between those things in your experience?
That's a great question. And I think that part of the process is often going through a point of really being confused about what your experience is. And so I think a lot of people, when they are beginning this journey, find that they're having that experience of really just having a hard time forgetting about this person and wondering, am I codependent? Am I crazy? And, you know, all of those sorts of things. And so I think it's kind of difficult to define exactly, because I think it's something that just kind of becomes clear over time.
Mm.
And often by focusing within and really working on feeling solid within yourself, right? So like if you are able to feel like you can stand on your own 2 feet and love yourself, and you're still having a lot of these thoughts about somebody else, like there might be more energetically there, as opposed to if it's clear that you see yourself as an incomplete person and you're looking to this other person to somehow fill you. And I think, again, early on in the process for a lot of people who are experiencing this, they still have some of those thoughts.
Yeah.
And so I think it's often something that just evolves over time, the clarity.
I got it. So it would a simplified Naughty Shaman version of this be like, if you're sitting grieving and like, I can't live without him, and you're just, you know, doing all of your numbing, fantastic addiction things because you cannot function without mm-hmm. another person, that might not be the twin flame energy.
Yeah. So I think a good way with everything in this process is to process your emotion first.
Mm.
Because if you process the emotion that you're experiencing, whether that's fear or sadness or anger or whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
And when that emotion is gone and you're in a peaceful place, you still feel the strong connection,
mm-hmm.
then it's probably not from this place of insecurity or this sort of emotion-affected perception.
Brilliant, brilliant. That makes sense. So what's the difference then? How do you know, or what are signs of like a twin flame kind of relationship versus like I'm in a cool relationship?
So a lot of times, there's a lot of synchronicities, things like seeing 11-11 a lot around thinking about that person or connecting to that person. A lot of times where there can feel like telepathy, like calling each other or texting each other at the same time, and other things where there's signs of like energetic, synchronicity with that, like, thinking about the same place or doing the same activities, even weird things like owning the same kinds of furniture or like weird things where it's just like, yes. I don't know why I felt so strongly drawn to this, but I did. And then now I realized
oh my God, I hate stripes too.
Just sort of strange things. Mm-hmm. But often, in terms of the experience, there's a sense of home.
Mm.
And a lot of people will report a feeling of like a cord,
mm-hmm.
and a feeling of a pulling on a cord, like mm-hmm. connecting you to the other person.
Right.
So I think those are some signs.
I've also heard stories, and I don't know what you think about this, like they've come from opposite ends of the earth, or sometimes from totally different cultures or generations or things like that. Can you speak to that, if that is one of the signs and why?
So I think that's common, but not always.
I see.
Yeah. And so it is not unusual for there to be vast age differences or vast mm-hmm. cultural differences, or like a person randomly travels to another country and they meet this person and have this major love connection while they're there. And it's very strange that you're drawn to this, you know, that particular place to that particular person. But I think that part of what twin flames are about is really anchoring in the energy of unconditional love on the planet right now. And so that's part of what those challenges bring up, right? So there are judgments sometimes mm-hmm. that people have in cultures about vast age differences, or if I come from, it's hard for me to think of an example right now, but vastly different cultural traditions that are in conflict with each other. Each of those cultures carries their own energy,
yeah.
and there may be a benefit of combining those between the two people, and also helping people from each culture learn to accept these other qualities, right? So it's sort of like a merging together of differences
mm-hmm.
and a finding of unconditional love through barriers.
Oh, that's brilliant. You know, I one time knew a couple who said that they were twin flames with one another, and one of them was indigenous, a Lakota, and one was like, you know, conquistador, not conquistador, but the whole European invader guy. And so that would be an example of what you just said, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. That makes sense, because they're not just coming together. They're coming together across these huge cultural differences in an effort to kind of heal and bring unconditional love energy to that previously anger-filled, resentment-filled cultural relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it sounds like twin flames are here to kind of elevate the vibe of the planet. Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Oh my God, that's so weird. But it's so, how would you say to people, or what would you say to people that are like, that is so weird and it makes no sense. And, you know, aren't you a psychologist? Shouldn't you say smart things and not this crazy energetic shit? But it's so, I think, for anybody that's ever touched this kind of energy,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like bullshit until then.
Yeah.
Is that what your experience is?
Yeah. I think that it's hard for people to understand this without experiencing it.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge to these kinds of relationships because often you can talk to other people in your life about it and they'll say, you know, you're losing your mind or, you know, like, what are you doing? You're just being obsessive and those sorts of things. And so I think that that's something that's important for anyone going through this process to really understand, like, that not everybody's going to get it. And, you know, it's, I think that's part of the personal transformation journey that you go through, having a karmic soulmate or a twin flame, is that it really pushes you to stand in your own truth, and to be really clear and really solid about what you believe.
That is awesome. Well, what advice would you give to people? You know, there's this, well, I'm in a twin flame relationship, and so it doesn't matter that he's abusive or an asshole. I'm just going to be with him because he's my twin flame. And I've heard that before from clients who will tolerate high levels of discomfort or maybe even abuse and all the different levels that it exists because they're in a twin flame relationship and that's what they have to do. What would you say to those people who are a little confused about that?
So again, I think the goal of the twin flame relationship is to anchor in energies of unconditional love. And so I would invite them to consider, is that the energy of unconditional love, right? And so it's, that's not really resonant with loving yourself and loving somebody else in an unconditional way. And so I think that it's important to be thinking about what serves my highest good and to be doing the things that serve highest good, regardless of whether you think this person is your twin flame or not, right? Because the goal is to eventually get to this place of joy and peace and love, and being in an abusive relationship is not any of those things.
Right. So it sounds like, if on the human level, there are things that aren't in alignment, there are times when twin flames may separate. And is that it? Or like, what's the rest of the story? Like, what the hell was the point? Like, what the hell, Suzanne?
Well, separation is common, for sure, in the twin flame process. And, you know, I think it can be a catalyst for transformation for both people, because there is such a strong pull to be together that when separated, I think it sort of forces twin flames to go within, to look at what's going on here. Like, what's my piece of this and what do I need to transform? And so it's powerful catalyst and purification process that people want to go through in order to have a harmonious union. Because twin flames, in my opinion, cannot be together unless they've healed enough of their stuff to be able to be harmonious. And so it's clearing a lot of karma. And because twin flames are from the same soul group and have had many, many different lifetimes together, there's a lot of stuff to heal. And so it can be really difficult for them to be together in physical reality without an appreciation of the energetic level of what's happening. And that comes back to the issue about abuse and these kinds of challenges in relationships, is sometimes those are the things that twin flames came in to transform. They're coming into these patterns of the way we have relationships with each other and going into those energies. And sometimes it's the setting of the boundaries.
Right.
And learning to do that energetically and break your family history of that pattern, or the typical feminine role or the typical masculine role of how we have relationships, that twin flames are transforming within those relationships and then more broadly.
I see. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about the feminine twin and the masculine twin, and it's not always gender specific from what I understand.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, a masculine twin could come in with all of the the traditional ways of the stoic, armored warrior man, and the feminine could come in with the people-pleasing, idealistic, dreamer templates. I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
And then it is possible that as these two people come together, that they're actually coming together to heal those things
yes.
on behalf of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It's really cool, I think.
It sounds... Yeah, it is really cool. Cool is also a word that,
yeah.
that I would use there. That's cool. It is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what level you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, obviously, at the very human level in physical reality, it can be really painful to have these experiences, especially if there isn't the level of spiritual reality and what's happening energetically.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I like to talk about this so much, is because I think it's profoundly helpful to understand things from the energetic level.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
From one perspective, you could be like, well, this person's just an asshole, right?
Well, sure.
And that's not maybe what's going on, you
no.
know, like, and so certainly it's important to set boundaries and handle the things you need to handle in physical reality. But I think it's also pushes us to see how we're all flawed human beings and we all make mistakes and we're all connected to these patterns, and to be able to hold someone in love even when they're engaging in not so great behavior.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how people function without that higher level of more spiritual context or more energetic context. So, no, I'm so grateful that you're out there speaking about this, because there seem to be so many people talking about it right now, and so many people will just make casual reference to, oh, this is my twin flame, or, oh, I have a twin flame. Why do you think there are so many more people talking about this right now on the planet?
I think that there was probably an energy shift somewhere around 2012 where, for whatever reason at that time, a lot of twin flames started to find each other and wake up to this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know myself why that time is when it started. But I think that it is part of the general shifts that are happening on the planet right now. And it's all, again, it's serving the ability of Earth to come more into love and just kind of transforming the way that we relate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think twin flames are way showers.
Way showers. I love that. It's interesting. What you're talking about makes me think of Eckhart Tolle's, it's one of the most brilliant essays I've ever written. It's in the beginning of This New Earth. I don't know if you recall it. But it's like the preface to the book. It's not even a chapter in the book. But he writes this whole essay about the flowering of consciousness and how at one point on the planet in its geological evolution, there was the first flower. And it probably only existed for like a second because the environment and the conditions were so volatile and difficult. But that first flower was just the beginning. And then as the climate changed and these seeds scattered, then there was this at one point in the evolution of the planet, a moment where there were so many seeds and so many that there was just this massive bloom of flowers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was equating that geological moment in evolution to what's happening to consciousness on the planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe around 2010 or 20, or whatever it was, there were these first flowers of consciousness, maybe in the 60s when people were having those wild breakthroughs through LSD and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was the beginning of the flowering of consciousness, the first little flowers with literally flower children, which I think that's darling. I just thought of that right now. But that now what we're experiencing, it's almost like it's reached a momentum where the wave is beginning to crash. And there are so many people, in my opinion, waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they have to be waking up to these deeper levels of relationship. And that's why I'm so glad we're making this podcast, because there are probably people out there going, what the hell is going on in this relationship right now? And maybe some of this is ringing their bell, because there is this deeper level, I think, available to us now for how we come in contact and why. I think people are getting drawn to each other very purposefully. Maybe all the time it's been that way. And maybe we're just aware of it now on a whole different level because of the availability of information around consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tremendous time to be alive. And it sounds like it's a tremendous time to be in a twin flame relationship, even though on the human level, it's challenging. On the soul level, It's super potent and important for the planet. Now, what if there's a twin that's just like, I'm all set. That's a bunch of bullshit. I don't want to learn any more about it or awaken or nada. Mm-hmm. I'm out. What happens then?
So if you identify as somebody who has a twin flame, you can still do your own energetic transformation process, whether or not the other person wants to have anything to do with that in physical reality. And so it, you're twin flames no matter what, because that's something that happens on the energetic level. And you can go as far as you want to take that transformation process. And anything, in my opinion, that you do is helping them out energetically. And so there's never any guarantee that you'll end up in physical relationship with your twin flame in this lifetime. But I think that the more you do that work, the greater that likelihood is. And regardless, I think that there are tremendous soul gifts for anyone who takes on that kind of transformation.
Like what?
I think greater peace, greater sense of wholeness, probably greater faith, because I think that the process is going to happen to you whether or not you want it to.
Because it sounds like the twin flame relationship is a little bit like carved into your architecture.
Yeah.
It's sort of undeniable on an energetic level anyway. Psychologically, can be like, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
But energetically, it's there whether you are aware of it or not.
Yeah. And I think you can resist it, and often there will be redirection that happens. And so over time, it might just be easiest to surrender to the process and say, okay, this is just something that I'm going to experience. And so I have the ability to control how I interact with these opportunities that come up and, how I take advantage of this process that I'm going through.
Right. What I like about that is it doesn't sound like, to get the benefits out of being in a twin flame relationship, it's not necessary for you to be in relationship with that other person in human reality, that you can do your own work and you can discover new things about your own journey and your own soul. And that can be a great catalyst for you in your healing journey, regardless of where their head is at or where their body is at, really, or anything.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. And I think it's my personal opinion that that non-attachment is a necessary part of the process, whether you end up being in relationship with that person or not. I think it really helps when you are in interaction with your twin to be able to hold that space of non-attachment to whatever, however things play out, because it's in grasping and controlling that a lot of the discord ends up coming up. And so I think regardless of how it ends up, that is an important and helpful part of the process.
Right. So like a person could chase or manipulate or guilt someone into being in relationship, that would actually be a little bit counter-evolutionary to the twin flame process, because it sounds like it's about an attachment and unconditional love, and that the more that those two concepts are lived and embraced and the healing journey is undertaken, then the greater chance of that joy that you're talking about.
Union
ultimately coming together in this life, physically. Yeah. Cool. Well, is there anything else that you would want to say or want people to remember, you know, from our chat today? There's so much. I feel like we should totally have another one of these conversations about probably star seeds and stargates and twin flame. Like, there's so many more layers to you, I know.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely have to get together again and talk about those things. But regarding the twin flames, is there anything that you want to leave us with?
So for anyone who is experiencing the journey, and is questioning, is this real? Is this not? Those sorts of things. I think that it's helpful to just know that this is a real thing. And as I said before, a lot of people in life are not going to understand that. And so I think it's helpful to seek people who know something about this experience and hopefully have experienced it themselves in order to get support and understanding and guidance. Mm-hmm. Because it can be really detrimental, I think, sometimes to talk to people who really just don't have an understanding, and very isolating and painful. So yeah, I think that it's good to use discernment about who you share these kinds of things with, and make sure to get the right sort of supports.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, you yourself are involved in a twin flame relationship. So yes. You have been having this experience of growth in this really special way for how many years?
27.
See, yeah. So you've lived it. You've not only watched other people go through it and coached hundreds through it as in one-on-one coaching sessions, but also lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are available for one-on-one coaching sessions, yes?
Yes.
Because I'm going to call you on Monday. And I appreciate the last one I had with you so very much. But yeah, so you are available for that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best places, if you're interested out there in learning more about twin flames and some of the ways to context relationships that you're in, please reach out to Suzanne. You can find her on the Naughty Shaman website at naughtyshaman.com. And she's on the practitioners page, and she will be back. If you are not in the U.S. or having trouble with the naughtyshaman.com website, then you can go to Suzanne's website, which is loveistheanswer.com, right?
Dot
no.
One.
Dot one.
Yeah.
I'm a big fat liar. Loveistheanswer.one.
Spelled out O-N-E.
O-N-E. So, yeah. We would love to hear from you, hear your comments. So shoot me an email at natalie@naughtyshaman.com. You can reach out to Suzanne via any of the above websites. And we would love to hear what you're thinking and what you're experiencing with your twin flames right now. Yeah, the stories are so juicy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here. All right, this is Natalie and Suzanne signing off from Naughty Shaman, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real.